corazón se queda aquí. Queda aquí. Esta es mi historia.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Dallas Barrios podcast. This podcast is hosted by the Emerging Historians. We are part of the Dallas Mexican American Historic Week, also known as DEMAL for short. DEMAL, founded in 2008, is a nonprofit focused on researching, collecting, documenting, and preserving Mexican American history in Dallas, Texas. On this season, we will share the lived experiences of BIPOC, meaning Black, Indigenous, and people of color business owners who have been affected by COVID-19 in Dallas, and we will also hear how they are navigating these times. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoy. Please like, subscribe, and share.
So, Jessica Washington, thank you so much for being with us on Chronicles of Dallas Barrios podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Ferrer-Ortiz. Yeah, thank you. And then Johnny.
Hello, my name is Johnny. How are y'all?
So I'll just go ahead and ask you to share a little blurb about yourself so that way the audience can learn a bit about you.
Sure. Well, my name, as you said before, Jessica Washington. I'm the COO and Director of Finance for the Dallas Weekly newspaper. This is a newspaper that has been in existence since 1954, serving South Dallas residents, mainly in Black residents of Dallas, for the underserved news that goes on in Dallas. I don't think it's a secret to anybody that most of the major publications here in Dallas, they do cater to the majority, I would say, race in Dallas, white people. And so historically, what we've done is tell the stories that they wouldn't tell. And as we all know, most Black people live in the southern sector of Dallas. And so that is predominantly the area that we do cover.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I guess a little bit about myself. I can actually give you a really good story about myself. Most of my history at the Dallas Weekly is actually short. I actually was working in corporate America majority of my career. That's actually where you and I met, Victoria. Yeah. And then about 2 years ago, yes, it was June 2018. I basically had an anxiety attack in my office and realized like I just couldn't do it anymore. I remember looking out the window a lot, feeling like this is a great view, but it's, you know, not feeling sufficient, not feeling like I was doing enough. And so now that I'm here at the Dallas Weekly with my husband and everything that goes into it, I would like people to know that like this isn't just an old historical, you know, entity in Dallas. This is part of a 200-year legacy of Black press altogether. So that's something that's very precious to me. This is also a family-owned business. We just got the business from his father in November of 2019. So we're officially the owners now, which is just exciting to be, thank you, to be a Black business owner and to like to feed your family off of something that you love to do as a passion. It's just something that's amazing. And yeah, the greater fulfillment is to be able to make a lot of money, but just to be able to do what you do, make your family happy, be self-fulfilled. That's to me the biggest, I think, satisfaction. I'll actually say what's above that is how many times people on the street or people on social media say, hey, we really appreciate what you guys are doing. You have no idea how impactful it is. Thank you for telling our story. Like, there's no like corporate job I could have had before this that would have given me that type of satisfaction. My husband grew up in this industry, so he's very used to that type of praise. But for those of us who, you know, I think majority of us live a life where we wake up 9 to 5 and then we work to make somebody else rich. And so to wake up and fulfill your own dreams, I can't say that I'm doing anything better.
A little bit different, right? Especially because, like, you know, you're over here just like being like a drone, or it's just, okay, just go in, my job, come back. But right now it's like, hold on up. This is for me. I got to make sure that I'm providing for myself as well.
Yeah, and I would say the biggest thing that I want to take away from this is to make sure I'm successful enough to hand it down to my children. That's my ultimate life goal. If I could keep this baby going long enough and follow the legacy, which is a huge pressure point, you know, to not only fulfill what has already been done, but then to push it to another level and then make it so that it can be taken over to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So that rides my anxiety every single day. But it's worth it. And like I said, it's so many levels of fulfillment when it comes to working in this. So I should probably give my husband and my father-in-law a huge thank you for what they've done with this paper and letting me be able to contribute.
That's wonderful. You have me over here like trying to tear up and stuff, Jess. Gosh.
I aim to please.
See, for me, this is exciting. It's just because like for both Latinx people and the Black community, right? We don't have that many like legacy businesses that I believe that we should, especially because we've been here for, you know, since the start of the development of Dallas.
Right.
So it's kind of sad, but at the same time, it's like, well, that's history. What can you do, right? And yeah. So I'm really hoping that, you know, there's a lot of businesses that do not close, or if they close, they reopen after all this is going on right now.
Yeah. I can't say how thankful I am that we definitely have been impacted by COVID, but not to the point that it's so detrimental to our business. In fact, it kind of gone with the shift change of what we were trying to do. So us being a Black publication, historically, we always do print. But we all know that the print industry was declining and people get their information digitally. They wake up in the morning, they go on their phone. I own a newspaper and I can't say I do anything different. I always get my information from my phone. Uh-huh. So when my husband took over the business, that's exactly the direction. He was like, we need to focus more on getting our information out digitally. Yeah, our paper looks great. The writing is good, but it doesn't matter if nobody's looking at the articles. And by looking at the articles, that means we need to boost our audience beyond printing 5,000 issues a week, which is our circulation. And we have over, I think last month, we had over 500,000 people come to our website. So, you know, I'll take those numbers as far as saying what my audience is. That's a real number. I don't even know why I use quotations. That's a real number, you know, as far as people looking at our content. So when COVID happened, obviously a lot of our drop sites, which were public areas like city facilities, schools, you know, things like that, they immediately shut down. A lot of restaurants shut down. And so our 150 drop site number went down to 100, like almost immediately, which greatly affected our circulation. So we had to hone in on making sure people got our information. So we boosted marketing, the fact that we have a mobile app that's available on, you know, any type of phone. We got a new digital content manager that is turning out stories constantly. So we just have basically we're looking like a regular news station at this point. And then we started a Dallas Weekly News segment, which my husband is the broadcast journalist of.
I love those.
Yeah, every day he just tells, you know, local and national news, you know, to our audience, which is on our YouTube, on our website, and also on our mobile app. So with all that being said, COVID had forced us to take it to another level when it comes to the distribution of our content. And I can say I'm proud of our team for executing it, you know, perfectly almost, because we just keep growing and growing. So not mad at any of this.
Got to change, you know, when all the situations come up, that's the only way to survive.
Which is very hard also for my industry, you know, shifting, you know, from one medium to another, you know, is incredibly hard, I think, for a lot of my comrades in the industry. But I think that what people need to wrap around their heads is that what makes it important about what we do is not based on the instrument that we use. It's about the actual information that's being distributed. So mm-hmm. I just hope that the Dallas Weekly can prove that. I think we are proving that, actually. So,
yeah.
So do y'all own or do y'all rent your site?
Our current office space is rented. We used to own that building, and then just for financial reasons, which was actually prior to COVID, it was during the managerial shift of the Dallas Weekly and everything, so it just made more sense for us to then have another owner for the building, which we are now not subletting, we rent spaces within our office. So we've been at the same location since the 90s, but now we just take up about just a couple spaces in the office, and then the rest of it we rent out, which is better for us financially. So that's how we shifted, our financial situation, take that overhead off of us as far mm-hmm. as handling everything that comes with owning a building. So I'm grateful for that we can still be in the heart of South Dallas. We're right in Fair Park across from Madison High School. Like, you can see the Ferris wheel from my corner. So we still have direct access to everything that's going on.
Okay.
What are some resources that you got from, some resources that you all have received in regards to COVID from the government? And what are some ways that the government, local, state, federal, could step up to help media outlets like your business?
Well, it's funny. I'm probably going to give you an answer you don't want to hear. We haven't received anything from the government. And it's not because I haven't filled out the paperwork, but from what I've found is that, and I don't have the correct term, so I can follow up with this, but there's a particular type of grant, the type of grants that the governments were giving out to people for business aid, at least the ones that I was presented with. I would fill out the information, especially for like the SBA Gov, small business relief, disaster relief funds, and things like that. But then they would run your credit. And so if you were a business that's already struggling, you know, then you probably won't have good credit. And so then you don't get grants if you don't have immaculate credit. And so I just found that was kind of, I'm trying to find a word that doesn't have profanity in it.
Counterintuitive. And I mean, if your business that's credit isn't like optimal, like that means that you probably wouldn't be able to get a business loan as easy as other businesses anyway. So then you probably have the need even more than other businesses who could get a loan in other avenues. So it doesn't really make sense that they would do it that way, considering equity.
Just another purposeful loophole to not help certain people. I'm just going to be honest. Because poor people generally, especially people in my area, like nobody in my neighborhood, and I know other business owners, you know, in this area, we sometimes, because of the people that we clientele to, can have cash flow issues. And so therefore you don't pay your bills on time. Now, the fact that I've been in business for over 65 years and some of these other business, you know what I mean? So it has proven that I can pay my bills, but like I said, if you don't cross every T and dot every I as far as, you know, what is considered optimal in their system, then it's not beneficial to you. So like I said, I've filled out plenty of grants. Maybe I'm not doing it the right way. So anybody out there listening, feel free to reach out to me and tell me what to do so I can get some of this money that is supposedly all out there that I hear other people, you know, getting. But let's say I don't have like immaculate payroll records because, you know, sometimes I pay freelancers through Cash App and they don't have checks, you know, because they're just a one-time photographer. You know, like if I don't have like everything laid out like that, then they're like, well, you're not a real business. You probably won't be able to pay us on time. So sorry, your credit record isn't, you know, good enough. Please come back again. So again, I've been very thankful that we've survived just off of bootstraps, hard sales, you know, just telling people, hey, we're still here. I did severe discounts to some of my long-term clients as soon as COVID hit. I did bundle packages just to say like, hey, like, we just want to let you know that, you know, yeah, it's going to be hard for both of us, but we want to stay in business with each other. So how about, you know, this nice 40% off on this advertising package? And a lot of them did that. And so now that we've, I think, come over the hump a little bit, now that people have kind of come accustomed to the fact that we're living in a health pandemic world, you know, and we have shown once again that we can get the content out. And then if you advertise with us, people will have eyes on your brand. So we've gotten past that. And I am, again, ever so thankful to my team.
Although for me, it kind of sucks that you had to do that deep of a change, you know, for you know, that's a good money right there. And I understand where it's like, you know, the situation just made you do that, right?
Right.
But I know on the other end, in a different, you know, business segment, they didn't do that. On the contrary, they actually like raised the prices just so that they can, you know, do the job. Because they, the example I'll do is in the construction industry, like the wait time right now for a job, it's probably like a month or two in certain projects.
Wow.
And if you're a contractor, well, like, you know, you're busy. You could probably be busy 7 days a week. And if you really, really want your job done right, pay more.
Oh, wow.
So it's interesting to hear, like, you know, the difference in the industries right now, just, you know, how the pandemic, you know, changed pricing for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we found that too, that, you know, shipping for some of our deliverables have gone up, you know, because they have to cover the cost.
Uh-huh.
And then I even have some, you know, sometimes people wanting to lowball us because they're like, well, we're going through something right now. And I'm like,
that's interesting. I'm like, okay, we're going through, you know, a pandemic right now, but why are you lowballing over here? Like, money's money.
Yeah, we all live on the same planet, I thought, so.
It's like this pandemic pretty much brought out the gambling out of people and the haggling. Like, let's see what I can get out of here. Let's see.
Hard times for everybody, you know, especially like, I mean, I'm a resident and a business owner of South Dallas. So I do see, you know, an increase in, I guess I would say, people making moves, being evicted, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is devastating to see because this was already a neighborhood that had a stigma anyway. But I am saying, proud to say that since school has gotten back in, I'm very impressed with the amount of students that have not been on the streets and they've been going to school and like still working out for their sports and things like that. I think people should talk about that more, that like the expected numbers of the decline of the educational system. We should take a really good look at like where that is happening. Because right now I see kids staying inside and their mom is making sure that they're, you know, mom and dads are making sure that they're getting educated. So I'm really happy about it.
I'm glad to hear that information from you because I have heard or read very little about that, just like on general internet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard any much about it, but except for like you said, you know, like, oh, the doom of, you know, education gap going on right now. I'm like, well, where's the information? Where's the data?
Right.
Like, I know you're getting it nationally, but where's the one where it's like local? That actually would be good, but we're probably not going to get that information until like maybe next summer or maybe some preliminary numbers, you know, in January.
Well, I can definitely tell you that the publication that we partner with, which is the Dallas Free Press, they do a lot of investigative journalism for us. And specifically right now in education, we are focusing on because it's such a different shift of what's happening. So I would say definitely look out for a series, actually, of educational articles specifically focusing on, you know, the decline of the educational system or, you know, or just what's going on, the status of what's happening locally all over the Metroplex.
Okay.
Jess, do you think you could talk to how the Black Lives Matter movement has impacted the work that you guys have been doing before, like all of these talks about being an ally, what that looks like, and like getting like hashtag woke and all of that crap. Can you talk about that? Because that's been your business since your business's inception, right? But now it's trendy. Can you talk about how that movement has impacted the Dallas Weekly?
Sure. Well, I can say that it's kind of like no news. What do they say? Like, there's like no bad news, if that makes any kind of sense. So like the hype, if you will, has definitely increased my audience because people are now looking to get information from what is considered a trusted source. With everything just being blatantly out there with people saying like, oh, well, maybe it is the protesters' fault. Well, you know, if you come to my publication, the Dallas Weekly, you're never going to see us condemning protesters for doing anything that we know is peaceful. You know that you're going to get the straight facts from us because historically, we can't be biased just based on the audience that we serve. So I would say that as far as the audience engagement that we've received, it's been very good to get an increase in the young people that are coming to our publication, because historically it's been more so my father-in-law's audience. But once again, when you shift the instrument of how you distribute your information, now we have all these young people, even like high schoolers, coming to us, you know, DMing us on Instagram saying, hey, do you know what's going on with this? Or they'll send a video of, you know, an untrusted news source and then ask us if that's legitimate. You know, so I don't mind going through, you know, the troubles of going through that as long as we have people looking for the information. Now, as far as specifically, you know, the movement of Black Lives, it's funny that you asked that, because when all of this started, I think I kind of dug into the hype as well. And I, you know, asked my husband, like, you know, what do you think we should do? Should we donate more or whatever? He was like, you do it every single day. He
was like, This is your work.
Yeah, he was like, that's what we do. We, you know, stand up for Black voices, and we, you know, and we speak out against injustices in our journalism. So he was like, you helping distribute all that, that's what you do. So I was like, yeah, I feel really good about it because I do work very hard at my job. I think everybody has their own way of doing it. There's definitely moments where I guess I'm going to try to speak as the COO of the Dallas Weekly. There are definitely moments where I wish people would focus more on what the actual change will look like, as far as like actually voting, actually knowing who your representatives are, you know, in your communities. You should know basically the same time like a restaurant's about to open or an album's about to drop, you should know exactly when and where you should be voting. Like, that should be in the back of your head just like that. I mean, it's called civic duty. And I don't know how people expect anything to change. A lot of times I see on social media, like, people will hashtag and tag all day, but then they won't show that they actually went to the polling booth. And so, I mean, I do hope that through all of this, that people can actually focus, and we'll see in about 40 something days if that actually stands true. But yeah, I'm kind of over the demonstrations on a personal note. I mean, and even as a business, you know, it's just like, I don't care to report anymore on people being like, oh, woe is the Black community, we should all feel really bad about it. It's like, no, let's do something now. Like, I don't need the demonstrations. I don't need to be reminded of how many Black people are dying at the hands of police brutality. I have all that information deadlocked in my head. I have it on my website as well. You know, what I need right now is for people to come together and just actually make some changes. Let's come up with a plan. Let's actually get the wrong people out of the office, the elected offices, and actually make some shifts. Because this has so many layers to it. That's also like something that people need to know. It's not just police brutality. It is our educational system. It is our healthcare system. It is the banking system. You know, so, you know, I should be able to get a house and get the same rate as everybody else, regardless of the color of my skin. People need to understand that that's something that's going on too. I should be able to have a baby without worrying about dying in the hospital because they think that I should endure more pain or shouldn't go through the same type of care as some other people. So I just hope people can understand that we're talking about hundreds of years of racism in this country. So we got hundreds of years of fixing to do. Enough with the posters and the kente cloths. Let's get to work.
Yes. The kumbaya singing is just annoying. I'm like, okay, so what are you gonna do now? Like, it's great to have like peace in your heart and feel connected and feel like you're educating yourself. But so I saw all of them do like that blackout thing, you know? Like, don't be performative with your activism, quote unquote, you know? Do something about it. Find meaningful ways of engaging with your community, like everything that you said, voting, knowing who your representatives are, engaging with them, having conversations, paying attention to the issues that are important to you and impact your community. And then, man, everything you said, like the financial aspects that have been a burden to people, health, you know, like we're both moms, and I learned a lot through that, and I know that you had a natural birth as well, but like going into a hospital and being a Black woman could be a death sentence if you're trying to give birth to your baby. And that's just crazy, and it's not how it should be, and it's because doctors don't take the pain of Black women seriously. they just like are on something else about it. But
I mean, yeah. I know we look like superheroes and everything, but
yeah.
But no, I mean, like on a serious note, like I just hope people understand there's a lot of levels to this, and we really need to focus. Like, this isn't a project. Allyship is not project based. That's my favorite line that I've been saying lately. It's like, if you did something yesterday, that's great. Now, what are you going to do tomorrow? I want to know your plan, because this thing is an everyday thing for me. So if you're going to be an ally, that's a way of life. That's an everyday thing. That's just what that is. And I would really, really like to, I've been telling my husband too, like, I'm so glad that we're having this conversation like this, because I think it's going to show that us coming together too, as people of color, and having these conversations, and, you know, just opening the platform to say that, like, them, us, that's my husband's favorite, you know, line. He was like, them, us. So, like, I don't know why people try to delineate when we're all going through the same shit. So, ooh, stuff. So,
it's okay. Okay.
Speak it from the heart. Speak it from the heart.
So, yeah, I hope that this is a pivotal time for everybody to just stop with the nonsense and like I said, focus and come together. So that's why I'm really thankful for this podcast and, you know, being a guest and talking to you guys, because this is very much needed. People need to see this and hear this.
Well, I was checking, and I believe our time is up. It's been a joy and a pleasure to be with you in your space.
Over.
If you want, could you please share your social media handles, all your info on the Dallas Weekly websites, promotions, campaigns,
yeah,
everything?
I mean, there's only one Dallas Weekly, so everything is at Dallas Weekly. You just type in dallasweekly.com. That's our website. Every single one of our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, is just at Dallas Weekly. No, LinkedIn is the Dallas Weekly. I don't know why we did that. But either way, anywhere that you type in Dallas Weekly, they're going to find us. And again, we have the Best of Black Dallas 2020 going on as we speak. We're in the nominations phase that ends on the 30th, but then October 13th, which is early voting in Texas. That's the first day it starts. That's when you can, like I said, vote for your favorite barbecue or hairstylist and tacos or teacher or doctor or landscaper, nail tech. No, I'm not going to.
Bring down the whole list right there.
No, like, so you can start voting that time, and also make sure that you are voting for the next president, whomever that may be. And thank you guys for having me. This was, again, amazing. So glad to be on this show, on this platform. I believe I'm the first guest, so, you know, there's something special about that, I think.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Yeah, call me back anytime.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Jess.
Bye.
All right, bye. Sabemos quién tiene el
poder. This episode was hosted by Victoria Farrell Ortiz and Johnny Reyes. Original music by Veronica Valera, co-composer and vocals. Andrew Jackson, trumpet and sound editor. Autumn Graves, composer, guitar, and lead vocals. If you like this podcast, please share it with your friends, your family, the Elotero. Everybody, only you can prevent your history from being forgotten. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Damahl Official, DMAHL Official, and like us on Facebook, leave a review, and stay safe out there. Hasta pronto. Pueden intentar robar mi casa, mi cultura y la...